This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's April 1st, and no fooling around today. We've got a lot to talk about, starting off with one of the most amazing NCAA tournament finals upsets from 1985. So a few things to throw out there before I dive into the meat and potatoes of this game. First, this was the first year the tournament had expanded to 64 teams. And secondly, it was the last year there was not a shot clock. Both of those things kind of figure in with this game. Villanova made the tournament by the narrowest of margins. They finished the regular season 19-10, 9-7 in the Big East, with only one win over a top 25 team. They lost in the semifinals of the Big East tournament. So it's a good bet the Wildcats would not have made the tournament if the NCAA had not expanded from 53 to 64 teams. The absence of a shot clock figured through their run in the tournament. Villanova was given an 8 seed, and before tipping off their first game, Vegas had their odds of winning the tournament at 35-1. Just for reference, NC State 2 years prior was a 6 seed and 25-1 to win the title. On their way to the championship game on this night, the Wildcats used the stall game to beat Dayton by a pair, shortened the game against top-seeded Michigan to win by 4, held Lynn Bias to just 8 points and Maryland overall to just 43 in their 3-point win to make the Elite Eight. Rolly Massimino then outmaneuvered the inventor of the four corners with his own version as the Wildcats beat North Carolina 58-44 to get to the Final Four. Top seeds and Big East companions St. John's and Georgetown both made the Final Four, marking the first time that three teams from the same conference had made the Final Four in the same year. The Wildcats held Memphis State to their lowest offensive output of the season in a 52-45 win to move on to the championship game, setting up the meeting with Georgetown, a team they had not beaten that season, and no one gave the Wildcats a chance. Well, there was one kid at my high school who took everybody's money and the Wildcats and the 8 points and ate Nutty Buddies for the rest of the year, but he was the only one that I know of. The Hoyas were the defending national champs. They had Patrick Ewing, who would soon be the top pick in the NBA draft. The only way that Villanova could win is if they played a near-perfect game. And of course, they did. A lot of that credit goes to Villanova guard Gary McLean, who played the full 40 minutes, handled the Georgetown pressure, and only committed 2 turnovers. They only took 28 shots, and they made 23 of them. That's nearly 79% shooting. By contrast, the Hoyas took 53 shots. Harold Jensen gave Villanova the lead with 2.5 to play, and then the Wildcats stalled, got fouled, hit their free throws, rinse, and repeat. Final score, 66-64, Villanova had won their first men's basketball national championship and beat the Georgetown Hoyas. So a couple of additional things. Villanova, as an 8, is still the lowest seed to ever win it all. There was a lot of talk several years later about Gary McLean being high on cocaine during this game, but he admitted later that he did cocaine prior to the Memphis game in the semifinals, and then took a few snorts before meeting President Reagan during the team's visit to the White House. But he said he did not take cocaine prior to this game against the Georgetown Hoyas on this night in 1985. Also on this day, in 1991, it was Mike Krzyzewski and Duke winning their first men's basketball national title with the 72-65 win over Roy Williams and Kansas. This game was bookended by a couple of fantastic devil dunks. First, the spectacular alley-oop from Bobby Hurley to Grant Hill, with Hill skywalking to grab it and then dunk it, and then Brian Davis with the game-sealing exclamation point to provide the final margin. This was just the second meeting between these two coaches, and the first in the postseason. Krzyzewski and Williams would go head-to-head a total of 44 times, with most of those meetings coming when Roy was at North Carolina. In 1978, New York Islanders winger Mike Bossy scored a pair of goals in a 3-2 win over Washington, becoming the first rookie to score 50 goals in a season in the NHL. And he was also the first Islander to score 50 in a season. The following year, Gretzky would score 50-plus in his rookie season as well. And in 1969, the Seattle Pilots traded Lou Piniella to Kansas City for a pair of prospects. Piniella would go on to win the American League Rookie of the Year that season. He got out at a good time, too. One year later, on the same day in 1970, the Pilots were declared bankrupt. They would eventually be sold to a car dealer by the name of Bud Selig, who moved the team to Milwaukee to become the Brewers. And today's non-sports Did You Know? According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest dance marathon ended on this day in 1931, 7 months after it started. The winning couple took home a $2,000 check. That's all for today. And instead of 7 months, it would just take maybe a few minutes to leave a 5-star review and a comment. It would be greatly appreciated. Either way, though, I'll be back tomorrow with another edition of This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans. We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.